Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me in studio today, the incredibly talented, yet very nurturing, Catherine Kemp Guiley. Kathy, I know I shouldn't call you Kathy.
Yes, you can.
If
only
I've known you,
can.
Yeah, I was going to say.
My dad.
Okay, since I've known you since we were 13, is that legal? But you've gone and done this incredible thing, which of course I always knew you would, because you are an achiever, and you had a career and still have a career in business in some sense, but you've taken your passions and you've built this into your career. So rewind the clock for me before you became an author of, now I'm looking at two of your books right here in my hand, and we'll get to those in a minute. Before Mountain Mantras and Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, which I just love, you were doing consulting. You were in like the business world. You went to business school. I mean, was it Kellogg? I mean, you're just, come on now.
Well, I went to the University of Texas at Austin.
Correct, yes.
So yeah, I was in full-time business school, and then I went into management consulting.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
But you worked for AT&T.
Wait, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in the Fortune 500 world and working 70 hours a week and three cities a week. And then I had kids, and that changed my life.
Right.
And it changed my priorities. Mm-hmm. And there was actually, so we were talking about my dad. He's the only other person that has the permission to call me Kathy. I go for walks with him on a weekly basis, and he's a biochemist, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, wait a minute. Does he live in Sun Valley now?
No. This is back when the kids were born.
Got it. Okay.
And I was trying to make it work with my life as a management consultant.
Working 70 hours a week and now kids.
And
husband and all these things.
How does it work?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is it doesn't. And I think that women need to accept that. That, like, remember that commercial? It totally messed me up. Remember this commercial? It was like, I can bring home the bacon.
Fry it up in a pan.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
and never let him forget you're a man. Oh, I got it. Yeah.
Okay. That completely warped my life. Okay. Because I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in that impressionable stage and I thought, okay, I can do it all. I can, have this amazing career and I can work for Fortune 500 companies and I can solve all the world's problems and be the best mom and wife and have a wonderful home. Well, the answer is you can't. And so I actually went through the fire. Like after my second child, after Alexander was born, I had postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
I felt unhealthy. I couldn't get out of bed. And I had to stop working, actually, because I was on bed rest. I think sometimes these challenges that we have, these dark nights of the soul, are actually meant to be. And the lesson for me at the time was that I needed to really zoom out and take a look at my skills. In fact, it was my grandmother that said to me, she said she called me Kathy. She's passed on. So there's only a few of you left that can call me Kathy. She said, Kathy, you need to think about what you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
You need to think about what your God-given gifts are.
You write about this in Mountain Mantras, yeah.
And then what is a critical need in the world? And so, again, with little kids and going for these walks and talks with my dad, we kept talking about the diabetes epidemic. I mean, one out of three kids really freaks me out. It's a whole lot higher if you're in a diverse population or if you're low income. So that's really where I went from that dark night of the soul into finding purpose. And that's really where I am today. I mean, I think that's what has propelled my success from that point forward, is that I found my purpose, and that's to help families be healthier and therefore be happier. And that's what I'm doing with Nurture and through my writing.
So when we talked about Nurture, let's see, you started Nurture when you were still here in Chicago. So for the listeners that don't know this, Catherine was here in Chicago being the mom and being, also working, but then deciding to make this complete career change, which also meant a relocation. You went to Sun Valley and you get the heck out of Dodge. Now, I mean, that is so excellent, because I think a lot of people dream about this. And just last year, I was with you for the Sun Valley Wellness Festival, which is an incredible festival for anyone out there who just needs a weekend away in May. Get on, line and check it out. But a lot of authors gather and keynote speakers, and Liz Gilbert was there, and Mark Nepo and myself, and you're going to be there this year. But Glenn Doyle Melton, the author that we had a dinner with, she and her husband packed up and moved to Florida. And I said, well, why did you do that from the East Coast or wherever they were? And she's like, because we always said we want to move somewhere warm. And it was like, what are we going to do? Wait till we're 50? Like, we want to enjoy our life now. So you and Jeff decide you're going to pack up and go to Sun Valley. And like, you do it and you make it work. Was that scary for you?
Oh, it was terrifying. And yeah. I talk a lot in Mountain Mantras mm-hmm. about overcoming fear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what it is that extreme situations need extreme solutions. So when I talk to people all over the country about, do you think I should move to a small mountain town? I don't think the answer is yes yeah. for everyone. It's not yes for most people.
Right.
But for somebody or for a family like Jeff and me and the kids, we were extreme. I mean, Jeff is a Wall Street guy, and mm-hmm. I was that crazy consultant lady,
right?
So we were the extreme that needed the extreme solution.
Right.
So I think for most people, if you're not so extreme like that, and you're looking for balance, you're looking for health, you're mm-hmm. looking for how to be a better version of yourself, mm-hmm. you don't need to do something so extreme. You can just simply make baby steps. I'm a huge fan of just taking baby steps. If mm-hmm. you want to start meditating, start with 30 seconds.
Right.
If you want to start exercising, walk around the block. If right. you want to start eating better,
start with one salad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. so that's really, I think that is really important for people to hear, because they think, oh my gosh, you moved to Sun Valley. You made this huge change. I could never do that. But that was just an extreme answer to extreme situation. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways to do it.
So when you're putting together the mountain mantras and we've got, why did you pick the number 7 of how many you have? Was that just an accident, or was that just?
Well, it's actually
because, 6. Oh, sorry, 6.
Yeah.
I feel like the 7th was the afterword.
Okay.
So when I'm going through, okay, mantra 1 is change your lens on life. Mantra 2, get some good boots on, which I love. First of all, by the way, you don't have to be a skier to get a lot out of this book. I need to put that out there, because not a lot of people in the Chicago area are going up to Wilmot Mountain to ski their brains out, which is our only option up in Wisconsin. Okay, number 3, zoom out for the best view. Number 4, plant your poles. Number 5, embrace the yard sale. I love this. And then 6, throw yourself down the mountain. And I think it was the giving back that was kind of what I, and the afterword was, I was thinking as sort of like a 7th.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where I had it in my head. But for you putting these together, how did you come up with the 6? Like, did you have 13 at some point, then you had to scale back?
Actually, the book was almost like 2 parts where I was talking about success in life, you know, mm-hmm. based on, you know, Stephen Covey, Jim Collins, sort of mm-hmm. all that management consulting mm-hmm. wisdom. And then the second part was my whole life, because I do look at my life almost as different chapters. Like, I was that management consulting person, and then I was the nutritionist. Mm-hmm. And so I had them separate. And then I worked with a wonderful developmental editor, in fact, too. And they really helped me to weave it together, because it's interesting. And I've been studying a lot about brain science and, you know, neuroplasticity. It's all mm-hmm. so fascinating. But people actually don't connect with statistics. They don't connect with statements. They connect with stories. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it goes to the right side of your brain, which processes things in a completely different way. Mm-hmm. And so I could sit there and tell people, well, do this, do that, blah, 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 and they would forget. But if I tell a story, then people will remember. Mm-hmm. And so the book really, it really came together by weaving everything together and anchoring it all by stories. And you're the master of storytelling, and you know that's mm-hmm. what really, that's what people remember your talks for. That's what people remember your books for. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still walk around in Sun Valley, people go, oh, you're friends with Jen Weigel. She's the parking ticket, you know.
The parking space lady.
Not parking ticket, but, you know, all the
order
karma.
My parking space from the universe.
The karma, the parking karma mm-hmm. lady.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, it's the Maya Angelou quote. They don't remember what you say, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And that is the most important thing, is how do you feel after you hear what somebody says? You might get, and that's what I think the Bible is and all of that. But they're retelling stories. You know, they didn't have digital recorders back then. They didn't have typewriters. They didn't have pens, people. They were chiseling it onto templates, getting retold and retold and retold, changing it around as they had a different audience. And so I think it's really important to kind of get the essence of a story. And so from what I love about Mountain Mantras is, like, you know, I don't have to be a skier to get the essence of putting your pole. And then, you know, just starting simply, like you say, baby steps, right? It's like, okay, and the zooming out, that's huge for me. I mean, talk about that a little bit, because I think we get so overwhelmed with everything. I know somebody who won't leave the house because she has so many things on her to-do list that she just gets bogged down with the thought, and then she does none of it.
Right. In fact, I think it's worse today than ever, because mm-hmm. we have so many sources of information that are constantly coming at us.
Right.
We've got texts, we've got emails, we've got to-do lists, we've got social media. So we are constantly focused on the minutia. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, you're saying this isn't necessarily for a skier. In fact, I wrote Mountain Mantras because I wanted to reach people that might not pick up a leadership book, you know, that might not pick up a Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, that kind mm-hmm. of genre. But I also wanted to hit that group of people that might not pick up a wellness book, mm-hmm. you know, that might not pick up a diet, nutrition kind of genre book, but they'll pick up a book about stories, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, people, again, love mm-hmm. stories. So when it comes to zooming out, whenever I would get on the lift, it was interesting when I would go and take my, you know, lunchtime ski break, I would just be like, oh my God, I have so much to do, blah, blah, blah. Like, mm-hmm. My head would be buzzing, kind of like it is before you go into a yoga class, right?
Sure, sure.
It's the same kind of thing. And then you take the lift up and you start out on the bottom and you're in the trees and you can't really tell where you are. And in fact, it's kind of like you can't really tell what's important. Mm-hmm. But then by the time you get to the top, and there's one chairlift in Sun Valley that's 3,500 feet up and it's about 10 minutes long. And by the time you get to the top, you know, first of all, you've had 10 minutes of quiet, mm-hmm. which I tend to use often as meditation. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the top and then you're like, whoa, mm-hmm. I'm not in the trees anymore. I can see where I am. You get the big picture. You really start to think about, I mean, what's important. We literally need to zoom out of our lives and say, what is important in the long run? Is it this to-do list? Is it this text? Is it this Twitter thing? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, is it that, or is it love? Is it relationships? Is it, you know, what's going to be said about me at my funeral?
Right.
It's that kind of zooming out. I'm talking about big zooming
out.
Big
stuff. Yeah. And also, too, because you came from the consultant world and Jeff was in the Wall Street world, those are not the impacts that you want to worry about. That's not the legacy that you're leaving behind. Your children and the relationship with your children is the legacy that you leave behind, right? And the connection and the heart connection. That is so much more important than the resume. And the one thing that I have learned from interviewing all these people who have died and lived to talk about it is that they don't look at your resume over there. You watch a life review and you feel everything you put out there, okay? You feel the relationships that you had and the connections that you had. It's like a boomerang. Everything we put out comes back to us. So we have to make a conscious choice of what we're putting out. And not from an ego place, but from a trust place and a love place. I just recently interviewed a woman named Echo Bodine, who's written about, I don't know, 8-9 books, and she lives up in Minnesota. And she told this story. She has this intuition support group every Friday at 12:30. They meet to talk about how they use their intuition. Did it work? Did it not? Was it valuable? Right? And the people go around the room and they share their stories. And it was fascinating. And she told this story about how she was real young and, you know, they were freaking out because they had no money and she didn't want to go home and eat the same like bologna on white for lunch. And it was just kind of like they were all complaining about how they had no money and they were so broke. And what are they going to have for lunch to make it interesting? And so this woman that they worked with named May said, ladies, I'm going to take you to the diner and you can order anything you want. And they were like, May, you know, and she's not like well to do or anything. But so the girls who are like in their teens or early 20s, right, go with May, who's in her 40s, to the diner. And they ordered mashed potatoes and meatloaf and gravy and the whole deal. And they got the, you know, they were so filled up. And May got out her coin purse to count out the change to pay for this for the girls. You know, this was a while back. But they were like, oh, no, May, you can't spend your last dollar. And she's like, honey, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. We have to live today. And this meal is going to go far for you emotionally and physically and spiritually and all that stuff. Oh, my gosh, this was the best lunch. We had to do this. May died in her sleep that night. Heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Wow. So intuitively, she knew.
It's like, her exit point was coming. And she thought, wow. I'm going to take my coin purse and I'm gonna splurge on the girls with a really great meal. And, you know, and I'm not telling everybody to go out and, you know, dine for $500 or go crazy. But just live in the moment now, because if you go to bed with your worry list and you wake up with your worry list, you're missing out on the present. And that wonderful meal, that conversation. You know, I have a friend who's always at least 5 steps ahead. And I'm joking with her because more recently I'm really making a conscious effort to be present now. Just be in present time. And so she called me up and she's like, I've got the list of things. Do you need to do this? Do you need to do that? I was like, you know what? Call me in 3 days. Because that's at least 3 days from now and I can't go there today. Today I'm in today. I'm not in 3 days from today. And she's like, what? This is so frustrating.
I love that. All we have.
Right.
It's all we have is now.
Right. So after you wrote this book, you know, the wisdom's on the paper, but how much of it are you following?
You know, I have to remind myself. In fact, I wanted to write that whole book about positive psychology because I think that of all the mantras, and they're all important, but of all the mantras, you've got to look at the lens through which you're viewing the world because it's how the world is going to treat you back. And so, you know what it's like being an author, right? You know, you need to promote, you need to market, you need to the, you need to look at the numbers. And, you know, sometimes they don't always look rosy. Right. And so I've had to remind myself so many times just to give myself a pat on the back. Hey, you're going to go talk to Jen today on WGN. Hey, you're going to go to the BEA and present the book. I think a lot of us, and this is for this isn't just for people that are authors. This is for everybody. We do not give ourselves enough credit for what we're doing on a day to day, on a moment to moment basis. So I constantly need to do that. And I think when I really committed to writing a book for kids, again, it was like, okay, it's about the lens. It's about positive psychology. How can this be positive and fun? Because if there's one barrier, I think, to success with kids and health, it's that we have, you know, looking through the lens. Maybe it's through our childhood. I don't know if you were forced to finish your peas or whatever, but
I was in like a Braunschweiger and Cheetos land. Okay, I don't think I had a salad until I was 15. To be quite honest, it's a miracle I'm standing. But I, but
oh
I
my gosh, and Jen looks so great too. I was telling her before. But the I see so much stress between parents and children that again, it was just about the positive psychology of keeping it fun.
Right,
it's got to be fun.
Right. I think that when people are thinking about health and wellness and nutrition, they just think boring and, you know, just it's gotten such a bad rap. But the reality is, and I always tell people this, we treat our cars better than we treat ourselves. We put the best gas in it. If the engine light goes on, we're like, ah, I better take it in the car. Our body is our car. I mean, we treat our bodies so great when we're pregnant. But then as soon as we pop the baby out, we go back to our old ways and we're drinking Diet Cokes. We are a condo all the time, not just for a baby. We're a condo for ourselves. And you talk so much about the science behind the wellness and what we eat. I mean, that's what I love so much about when you started Nurture and nurturing your family and teaching people recipes, these five ingredients or less kind of recipes, that people can make this stuff so easily and it really affects them physically and psychologically. And that's what you're talking about too with the science behind this. People are so depressed and they don't know why. So then they take a pill. But then they're eating Doritos or whatever bad chips that they're eating and sucking down Mountain Dew like there's no tomorrow. And they wonder why they feel bad. There is a direct response to the physical from what we ingest. And people just don't get that.
Well, talking about, you know, how we treat our cars, I mean, that's a perfect lead into how I think we all need to be talking about food. I mean, food is fuel. Right. And I think sometimes food gets mixed up in all this other kind of stuff like acceptance and love and all that praise or whatever. When it really comes down to it, food is fuel. And if we teach kids that we want to fuel our bodies with great fuel, they get it. In fact, when I teach, you know, to kids across the nation in schools, I'll say, well, what happens if you put bad gasoline, you know, gasoline that has a lot of like additives and things that aren't supposed to be in there? What do you think happens to the car? And they all go, oh, you know, sometimes it'll blow up or, or it won't go. Like, it's really basic. And then we start talking about food. And I never say that foods are bad. Or I never even use junk, you know, junk food as a term. I simply say it's a go food, gives you energy, or it's a slow food. Exactly. And immediately kids, they know, can name a couple of go foods, broccoli, meat, eggs, nuts, name some slow foods, Doritos, you know, ice cream, you know, things like that. So they know, they just need to be reminded. But it's very important to keep the shame out of it.
The shame is a huge thing. So people think that they're doing something, quote, bad, then they're going to feel punished and then they're going to shut down. And they're not going to absorb. And that's the thing. Absorption. I noticed such a huge difference when I started giving my son these omega-3 gummies in the morning and then these vitamin D three, whatever things in the morning, getting started with his day when it's the dead of winter and your kid's getting no sunlight. Boom, you have to give them so much vitamin D3. And I didn't realize this, but I seriously noticed a mood swing. I noticed that he had tolerance for doing his homework more. I really noticed a shift. And I'm like, is this in my head? But no, it's nutrition. It's your container. You're putting better gas in your car, period. It's going to drive faster on the highway. The end.
Yeah,
right?
Vitamin D deficiency is a huge problem right now.
Right.
I mean, believe it or not, like we had not seen rickets in this country for decades, and it's coming back. Why? Mm-hmm. Because kids are in daycare all day long. They have no time outside. Mm-hmm. Babies are getting rickets, which is a vitamin D deficiency, which is severe.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. I mean, if I would say from a health perspective, one tip for listeners,
yes,
get outside every day.
Well, if it's 17 below zero, what else can we do?
Okay. I have a rule here in Chicago mm-hmm. that I would not, I'm trying to think, I think it was negative 10.
Was your
absolute, I would not go
right.
when it was negative 10. But mm-hmm. that's only a couple days a year.
True. That's true.
So mm-hmm. I still stick to the go outside every single day.
Bundle up and do it.
Yeah. Put on a, you know, put something over your nose. Mm-hmm. You know, doesn't, no one's like taking pictures of you.
No, I know. And that's the thing. I actually make it a rule, even if it was raining sideways, I would still bundle up and, you know, water is not going to kill you. Got to get out. You got to do it. So another, what's another thing for listeners? Like for me, my new hot thing that I have to have is turmeric because I hear it's great for your brain, right? We interviewed a couple doctors that say absolutely take it. It's great. It reverses Alzheimer's, all these things. What are some of your, I mean, you probably take 25 supplements a day, but give me a few. Give me
okay,
a few.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm just going to go really simple, mm-hmm. Easy to follow. And this is actually from Olympians. Okay. So it was really interesting.
Because you had an Olympian who did your foreword on your book.
Four-time Olympian. I can't imagine being Olympians in Olympics once and she was in four times. Mm-hmm. But I interviewed many, many Olympians because I was looking for that magic elixir. Like, mm-hmm. what are they doing that makes them so amazing? And the fact is there isn't. Now, there's magic in their heads. A lot of the game is happening in their heads. And that's that whole idea around positive psychology. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to nutrition, mm-hmm. the number one thing that I heard was to eat a rainbow. Thus, the next book. Mm-hmm. But Olympians, they're always competitive.
Right.
And so what they do when they're always traveling, mm-hmm. when they go out for dinner, they literally have a competition. How many colors can you get on your plate? Somebody wins. And of course, they have to be from Mother Earth.
Okay.
Right.
Got
so
it.
So that is an Olympian trick. Eat a rainbow. So listeners, that's all you have to do.
All right. Give us an example of each color. We got tomatoes.
So I do it in five groups because it's just easier to remember for kids. And then you can kind of match it up to what helps or how it helps their body.
Okay.
So red, you know, that is great for the cardiovascular system, great for your heart, great for your brain. So red, got to get red in. Orange, yellow, I put together, great vitamin C, vitamin A, great for your skin, mm-hmm. great for your immunity, mm-hmm. Great for your hair, great for your eyes.
Okay.
So that's orange and yellow. Green, high in calcium. Oh my gosh, leafy greens are great. So I tell kids, great for your teeth, mm-hmm. great for your bones. I usually ask kids, do you want to go to the dentist and get a cavity filled? No.
Right.
Eat your greens.
Yeah.
So there's greens. Then I have blue and white. Or sorry, blue and purple, high in antioxidants. So those are overall great.
Cabernet Sauvignon counts, right?
Absolutely,
okay,
right? That's a resveratrol. But so blue and purple are, I talk about speed and overall energy for your mm-hmm. body. I mean, I don't talk to kids. Actually, for adults, it helps with aging and mm-hmm. memory.
Right.
But kids, they don't care about that.
Right.
And then white is the last group. I consider white to be a color because it's an important, there's actually quite a few.
What is that, pasta, breads?
No. This is only fruits and vegetables.
Got it.
So this would be onions. Okay. This would be jicama. This would be turnip. Potatoes, radishes, even things that are white on the inside like apples.
Mm-hmm.
So really there you're finding a lot of potassium and fiber. And I say that's good for your tummy mm-hmm. because it's good for your digestive system. So really in the book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, we show the main character with magic that moves from the heart mm-hmm. to the eyes to the teeth, mm-hmm. you know, because the main character is moving through the colors and learning about it. And the kids love the magic.
Mm-hmm. They totally love the magic. Well, it's like Popeye. Eat your spinach. You're going to be strong. I mean, that was the thing that we always like, okay, well, if I eat my spinach, I'll be strong like Popeye. Okay, here we go. But it's true. I mean, if they can absorb these kind of lessons early on and then keep them going, it's just such a huge problem with access to good foods and good affordable foods and good organic affordable foods. You know, does it ever feel overwhelming? Like with how far we have to go, or do you just, again, is it baby steps with getting people in small doses to have more kale?
Okay, you can get easily overwhelmed for sure. And mm-hmm. when I do start to think too big, mm-hmm. then I get overwhelmed. But then I bring it back, you know, really, it's what Gandhi said. Mm-hmm. It's be the change that you want to see in the world.
Right.
And the only person you can control is yourself. No, you cannot control your kids. You cannot control what other people eat. Mm-mm. So we need to start by having very good role models within ourselves, mm-hmm. and we need to start educating, and we need to inspire, and then we need to give choice. I mean, right. that's really, it's inspire, educate, give choice. That, if it's a simple recipe, you
right.
know,
totally.
That's what I would suggest to people. But really, start with yourself. Mm-hmm. It's super easy. You don't have to worry about other people and judging and shame and, you know, just what's on your own plate.
So your dad being in the science world, you've talked a lot about how he thinks some of the woo-woo stuff that, you know, is a little wah-wah. What are some of the scientific research-based studies that you've been able to kind of cross-pollinate on, if that makes sense?
Absolutely. Oh, there's so much out there. In fact, I was just reading a journal that was talking about how 91% of kids don't get the daily requirement of vegetables. Mm-hmm. Again, another reason for, you know, for having education around eating vegetables.
Yep.
But all of the colors that I just mentioned in mm-hmm. terms of, you know, when it comes to the red, it's lycopene.
Yeah.
You know, there's these, you know, phytonutrients. Mm-hmm. This is all based on science.
True.
It's really fantastic. And I did, of course, I had my dad be a beta reader mm-hmm. for both books. But it was interesting. He especially liked the Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, because mm-hmm. he loved that the science wasn't in your face, mm-hmm. but it is definitely based on solid science, and he loves that.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, is that going too far? Nope, that's exactly right.
Okay, love that. What does he think of David Hawking's? Because you write about that in Mountain Mantras, and I'm a huge, huge fan. Power versus Force is one of those books mm-hmm. that changed my life. If anybody out there is curious of, you know, getting kind of a read that isn't exactly a light read, but here I'm on page 144 of Mountain Mantras. Transforming fear into love is the idea here. So Dr. David Hawkins contends in his groundbreaking book, Power versus Force, that more than 85% of humans calibrate below a positive level on his map of consciousness. So the map of consciousness, he basically gave numbers to certain emotions based on thousands and thousands of muscle tests and kinesiology, applied kinesiology. And the spectrum of these emotions formed this. So shame is at 20, guilt is at 30, apathy is 50. Grief is 75. Fear is 100. Desire, 125. Anger, 150. Pride, 175. Courage, 200. That's like a turning point. 250 is neutrality, which is really interesting. Then you get into willingness, which is 310. Acceptance, which is 350. Reason, which is 400. And then finally, 500 is love. Love and above is what I talk about. Enlightenment's up at 700. But getting to 700 to 1,000, well, that's where Jesus, you know, Buddha, all those guys are up in that zone. But hey, if we can get out of 20, which is shame, that's the biggest one. And you use muscle testing kinesiology in life, don't you? Give me some examples of that.
I do. And it's so interesting that you asked what my dad thought of that particular section, because when I gave a talk at the book stall, mm-hmm. which is right in Winnetka, I had some folks that had been to multiple talks, and they had seen me do muscle testing. And what I do is I do a look, I'm wearing my smiley face.
You are. Okay.
And I love that. It's kind of become my, I don't know, it's like kind of a mini logo for me. So
yeah.
I have it on both covers. Actually, mm-hmm. it's not on the cover of Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, but it's in there. So the smiley face is about positivity. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I will have somebody come up, and I won't show them what it is, and I will put a smiley face on their solar plexus, which, as
their
you
stomach.
Know, is
mm-hmm.
their
mm-hmm.
the body's antenna.
Yep.
And then I will test them for being strong or weak, and everybody tests strong on the,
on
smiley,
the smiley face.
Face.
And when you say muscle test or test, it's like what happens is, for those who don't understand kinesiology, you put your arm out and you try to hold the resistance. So you try to be strong when someone is pushing down on your arm. So these people are blindly holding something that they don't know what it is. They're putting it in their low gut. Catherine is pushing on their arm, and you're saying it's usually a strong, which is a yes, like a boom, positive.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if listeners want to find out, there's a great book by Dr. Diamond called The Body Doesn't Lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really great introduction to what we're talking about applied kinesiology.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you put the negative on that person's solar plexus, the frowny face,
mm-hmm.
they are weak. And it's amazing. Kids are even more sensitive. I had a book signing in Salt Lake City recently, and there was like a kids recital happening next door, and the mm-hmm. kids saw that I was doing this muscle testing, and they love this kind of stuff. I mean, kids, you know,
right.
they don't really have a lot of
it's interactive.
Baggage.
They're
yeah.
like, woohoo, yeah, what can
so
we do?
They're all running in and mm-hmm. you know, and doing it, and they're like, whoa, that's really weird. What did you do? So I would say to them, and I was actually handing out smiley face stickers. I said, you know, before you go into your test or if you're at a presentation at school or actually before the recital or something mm-hmm. that scares you, mm-hmm. put your smiley face on. Really think about that positive imagery. And, you know, as far as what my dad thinks of all this, you know, there is a lot of science, and Amy Cuddy's new book, Presence, really goes through all the science, you know, behind how positivity, how the positioning of our bodies completely affects how we are perceived, how mm-hmm. most importantly, how we perceive ourselves.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That changes the biology.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in fact, going back to this whole lessons from Olympians. So the Olympians caught on to this whole thing, the power posing, the superwoman.
Right. Hands on the hips.
Yep, gotta do this. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. So 30 seconds to 2 minutes with hands on hips, wide stance.
Right.
And you can actually they were to test this. They would prick the athlete's fingers before and after. And so testosterone mm-hmm. goes up and cortisol goes down.
The stress hormone. Yeah.
That's science.
Hello.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also feel it. So
right.
a listener can just, if they're anxious, if they're nervous, if they're going into an interview or some kind of situation where mm-hmm. you know they really want to express their authentic selves mm-hmm. without getting caught up,
right.
Do the power pose and they can tell. You'll right. be able to tell for yourself.
But then also, too, the power, I feel like, of the imagery of a smiley face versus a frowny face and what that does biologically. So these kids are holding a smiley face on their stomach and it is affecting their entire biology to the point where their arm is weaker. Then, you know, or weaker with the frowny face and then stronger with the smiley face. We also saw this with Elena, your daughter, when she did her eighth grade presentation and she had the smiley face or the frowny face behind her subject. So they couldn't see it on a big, you know, piece of white paper, what was projecting out to them. And the smiley face projection out to the, you know, subject, and then you muscle tested the arm of the subject and their arms were strong with the smiley and they were weak with the frown. Even the energy of that image affects our energy field. And I know that sounds freaking woo-woo, but it's biology.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we wondered if it was the projection of the people in the audience that felt that negativity mm-hmm. or if it was actually the person that picked up on the energy field, or it could be both.
But the
point and the takeaway, and this is sort of the action item for the listener, mm-hmm. is that finding the good in all situations, sometimes it's hard, mm-hmm. but that is actually going to be so beneficial to yourself mentally and physically. Right. And I'm not saying to walk around and be fake.
Right. No.
I'm saying truly, again, to kind of, you know, change that lens and, you know, practice gratitude. Wake up in the morning, even if it's been a, you know, a tough previous day or whatever, wake up in the morning and be thankful for that first breath. Mm-hmm. Be thankful for the air that you're breathing. If you're able to have a healthy breakfast, be thankful for that. As you go through your day, pick out a few thankful, you know, things to be thankful for. There's a really successful leader of a nonprofit in Idaho who the first thing he does when he gets to the office every day, every single day, mm-hmm. is he sends 5 emails of gratitude.
Nice.
And he just, you know, really quick, takes 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. I just want to thank you for. And that sets the tone mm-hmm. for every day. So another thing you can do is at night.
Right.
Gratitude.
Right.
So.
Exactly. I interviewed Judge Kralik. I think it's John Kralik. He wrote the book 365 Thank Yous.
Yes.
Love that book. And he was on CBS Sunday Morning. And he was walking through the mountains in Los Angeles. And he had his worry list in his head and all the people that owed him money and all the crap that was going on in his world. And then he heard, until you're thankful for the things that you have, you will never get the things that you want. And he's an atheist. He's like, okay, whoa, I'm hearing voices. What's up? And then he decided to go home and start writing the thank you notes to everybody. And it just changed the flow of his entire world. And that, you know, we can't all get pen to paper and write something, but you can all sit down at your computer and do a digital quick something. I have a friend who does 3 every day. He does 5, you know, so just start with 1, people.
Right.
Just like send a nice text if you're too lazy to email. And shame on you if you are, but whatever.
You know what? Again, back to baby steps.
Yeah,
it can just be a thought.
Right.
It can just be one
single
thought.
They'll still catch the thought.
Yep, absolutely.
They'll catch the thought. You know, it's funny. Okay, so here's another experiment, and we're going to leave our listeners with something that they can do at home, so think of something. But that just that you say that thought, I interviewed somebody who was telling me that the heart is 5 times stronger than any organ, right? This might have been in Sun Valley, a conversation I was having after the Wellness Festival. Yes, the filmmaker who made the movie The Power of the Heart.
Yes.
Okay. We all watched that, you know, Power of the Heart. I watched that when I got home. And the heart is 5 times stronger than any other organ. And so he said, if you did this experiment of where you literally think love, love, love about someone that you do love, 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 and then just watch how that relationship, you'll feel it come back to you. Either they'll call you out of nowhere or they'll text you. Something will come back from them, or you'll hear that they were just talking about you at a thing. Their brainwave is going to catch it. Somewhere in the universe, it's going to like be like, woohoo, there she is. So I did this. I did this. And I was thinking about somebody I hadn't thought of in the longest time. And she left me a voicemail. I'm not kidding. That night. She lives in San Francisco. It was so cool. I was like, hey, girl, your antenna is on.
Love that.
So that was a really fun experiment. Okay, so now what are you going to give our listeners something to do?
Well, I'll just piggyback on this whole idea of the heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of people do yoga, but maybe don't understand sort of the 4,000-year-old science behind yoga and what's happening. But there are some wonderful heart-opening poses. Mm-hmm. I think we spend a lot of time, myself included, you know, when I'm writing, you know, I'm over my computer, right? And when we have babies, you know, we're sort of constantly protecting them. So we're hunched over. So let's all do the reverse, you know, shoulders back. Mm-hmm. And there's a pose I love called camel. I don't do it at night because it keeps me up. It's really invigorating.
Really? Okay.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it's
all right,
crazy.
Do this one in the morning, people. Warning. Yeah. You heard it here.
Or after, you know, after lunch when you get that sort of like nappy thing. So shoulders back and just arch your back. You can just arch over a chair.
Right. Or like an exercise ball or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole point is to shine your heart, like Jen said, 5,000 times stronger. Mm-hmm. I mean, this energy field, that's also from Marcy Shymoff, Happy for No Reason, Love for No Reason, this heart center. And then just feel that and then just try to connect with that because when we make too many decisions from our head, we're not making always the right decisions. And then I'll also, if I could, point people to Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, which is a website that has been put up with free resources for parents. Tons of stuff if you're interested about some of the things I was saying about eating fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. It's all free. It's in Spanish and English. So if you're at a school and you're thinking, I wish the school lunches or snacks or whatever were better.
Yeah.
The website has been created to help people and to give them free resources. So that's just a fun place to go.
Perfect. So when that one's on the shelves, we'll do this again.
I love that. Right. I love coming to see you.
I love having you here. Mountain Mantras, Wellness and Life Lessons from the Slopes. Catherine Kemp Guiley, get it now. I know they had it up at the bookstall in Winnetka. You can also get it on Amazon, of course. And then we will keep our eyes peeled for Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. But by all means, you know, go online, get these resources because they are here. And also healthykidsideas.com. is a great space, and nurtureyourfamily.org. There's a lot of things, but it's all in the back of your book. So, Kath, thanks for doing all the incredible wellness and health and mantras, just sort of walking your talk. It's really inspiring stuff, and I'm just grateful to be able to read your words and your wisdom and try to pepper a little of it in my life, and I'll let you know what works.
Well, I think we're both agents of change, and so, you know, you keep up your good work, too. It makes a huge difference.
Thank you. I appreciate it. More conversations, because that's the only way change can happen, is by starting the ball rolling. So baby steps, like Catherine says, do one thing today and three things tomorrow. I'm Jennifer Weigel, jenweigel.com, WGNplus.com. I'm spiritual, damn it.